This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Change, Redefining Success, the podcast designed to inspire you and give you actionable information to enhance, up-level, reimagine, and reinvent your life and your livelihood. No matter where you started, where you are now, or where you've been, you too can lead an authentic, first-class life. Each week, new stories of turning points and transformation will help you define what success means to you so you can live your best life on your terms. Now here's your host, first-class life mentor and certified Profiting from Your Passions coach, Kate Fessler.
Welcome to Change, Redefining Success. I'm your host, Kate Fessler. Today, my guest is storyteller, writer, narrator, producer, and actor, Chris Kepler. As a young child, Chris was painfully shy, but she loved to sing and longed to be in school musicals. Unfortunately, she was told by her high school choir teacher that she possessed an awful voice. Nevertheless, she persisted, and in her senior year, she played a nun in the chorus in that year's musical, The Sound of Music. In junior college, Chris joined the choir where the director believed in helping his singers and gave small group lessons. He discovered Chris's lovely voice. But still, she lacked a musical ear and found herself on a discard pile once again due to her inability to sight read music. After junior college, Chris quit singing. She joined the ranks of corporate employees working as a purchasing agent. In her mid-30s, that old yearning to sing resurfaced. Chris located a voice teacher, telling her she wanted to sing musical theater and possibly try a little opera. She also told the voice teacher that she sang mezzo-soprano, the lower female vocal range. Upon hearing Chris sing, the teacher quickly realized that not only was she not a mezzo-soprano, Chris is a first soprano, the highest female voice range. The voice teacher taught Chris to take her range into the stratosphere. She learned to sing opera. She joined the chorus of a community theater Gilbert and Sullivan production. She further studied singing and acting, refining her skills with more prominent stage appearances. As an actor, Chris has an IMDb page with several film credits. Chris has expanded her range to writing business blogs and satire, performing her own material, doing e-learning, video game, and explainer video voiceovers, narrating and producing audiobooks, and she also has her own podcast. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Kate. Thanks so much for having me.
I can relate to the first part of your story. I, too, was painfully shy as a child. It certainly doesn't help when instead of encouragement you need to come out of your shell, you're actually discouraged from pursuing something you love.
You are. It's almost like a curse. A curse to be shy. It can really hold you back.
Well, you clearly had a very strong love for music, continuing to pursue singing even after being told you had a horrible voice.
Yeah, it was like, man, persistence really paid off there. It's like, I love to sing. This guy is a jerk, and I'm just going to keep at it.
Yeah, good for you. I mean, it's awfully common for people to kind of just abandon this, oh, well, he must know, and just, you know, disappointedly walk away. But you kept going.
Oh, yeah. And I'm so glad I did. I still sing a little bit. In fact, I sing to warm up for my narration.
Ah, okay. So after junior college, though, you quit singing. Why did you do that?
I did. I got bored with choir. It was just standing up there singing. And it got bored. You know, I wanted a little more excitement with my singing. And it's like, at that point, I hadn't been introduced to acting very much. And so it just never occurred to me. And of course, I still wasn't being encouraged. Mm-hmm. It just never occurred to me that there was some other aspects that I could try. And so it was just like, oh, oh, phooey, I'm bored. Yeah.
So did you even still sing in the shower or the car, or did you just give it up altogether?
No, I gave it up altogether. Yeah.
Wow. So you took a job in a corporation. You worked as a purchasing agent for 20 years.
Yes, I did.
Why did you do that? And what was that like for you?
You know, it was, I started out, I was originally trained as a medical technologist doing medical testing in lab. And that was a really, I'm good at math and science. And since I was so shy, no one thought I was creative. No one even bothered to find out what other skills I might have. It's just like, oh, she's good at math and science, so we'll just, you know, shove her in the direction of, you know, a little mole in a lab. And it's medical technology, a lab testing is very stressful, and it's doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And I got, oh man, that was just, I was bored. Because I like exploring things, solving problems. My favorite thing was none of the other techs wanted to, if we came up with any kind of problem as a mislabeled sample, anything like that, they're like, here, you deal with this. And that was the highlight of my day, to figure out why we had a, you know, mislabeled sample. Mm-hmm. And so I took a class at a junior college, a night class about, you know, careers and what is a good fit for you.
And was it like the what color is your parachute thing?
Yeah, sort of like that. And it kept coming up, buyer, purchasing agent. And I'm like, what is that? I had no idea that even existed as a job. Nobody mm-hmm. talks about it, even in college. Except when you get to a master's program in business, and then they say, oh, there's purchasing. It's like...
Interesting. What is a purchasing agent? What did you do? What kind of job is that?
That job is making sure that all the materials and services that a company needs get in the door on time and are correct. So it's logistics, it's planning. There's actually a lot of, you can put a lot of creativity into it because that would be sourcing. You source products for people, for the manufacturing floor. And so there's a lot of creativity in that. And so it utilized more of my creative side. And so I actually really enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed working, you know, with people, other employees, to find the items that they needed and to get things there on time. And so unfortunately, you're lower than a cockroach on management scale.
No. Well, that sounds like a pretty important job. That's so odd.
You would think so, but never really treated that way. Well, at the last company I worked for part time, they were really nice. I felt fairly well treated there. So you know, I didn't not enjoy that job, but I longed to use more of my creative powers. And especially when I got into acting, and I longed for a freer schedule. I hate the, you know, 9-to-5 schlag. So,
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So in your 30s, you decided, you know what? I really want to sing.
Yes.
I've been ignoring this side of me for too long. Yes. So you found a voice teacher, which led to some surprises for you. Tell me that story.
Oh my gosh, was that ever a big surprise? It's like, oh yeah, you're an alto, or it's or mezzo soprano, you know, low voice. And so here I was working on this low voice, and it never, even though the college teacher had discovered there was a voice there that sounded pretty good, it just, you know, it's just like, it never felt really right. And always something was not quite right, you know, and within 15 minutes of vocalizing, you know, in my 30s for this voice teacher, she's like, no, you know what? You're a soprano. In fact, I think you're a first soprano. And I was like, what? So all of a sudden I had to develop a part of my voice I had no idea even existed. And that was, that was a real challenge. But when I found it, it was wonderful. Like, oh, this is where I have belonged all the time.
Yeah. So it was wonderful, but it also made you a little angry, didn't it? Because it took that long for people to figure it out.
God, what a bunch of jerks. It's like, you can't, boy. Don't believe what everyone, so, you know, even teachers that are supposed to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And don't tell you.
So do you think the misdiagnosis, I guess, for lack of a better word, of the mezzo-soprano led them to think that your voice wasn't what they were looking for, because it really wasn't your proper range that they were asking you to perform in?
Yeah. I wasn't singing in my proper range. And of course it didn't sound quite right. Well, yeah, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Cause that's not where I was supposed to be. That's not where my true voice lie, you know? And so, yeah. And also I think it was because I was still at that time, you know, I'm still an introvert. But I was really still very shy and introverted at that point. And I think it just, people just slough you off. They just slough you off. Yeah. Which is unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. It can be very challenging if you're, it seems today like you have to be sort of front and center and, you know, blaring your life all over everything in order to get noticed at all. And it is a challenge for people for whom that's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, And it's very sad, because just because you're shy doesn't mean that you don't have things to contribute.
Well, and if you had sort of been steered in the proper direction, or if someone had taken an interest in you earlier on and helped you to realize what the truth was about your voice, boy, what a difference that would have made, huh?
Oh, it would have made a huge difference. I, you know, might have actually had a career in opera. By the time I got started, it was too late. So, and, you know, I would have gotten to sing. There were some probably things I never got to sing, because they didn't realize where my voice, you know, was supposed to be. And so there were some things that I never got to sing that I probably would like to sing, simply because I got started so late. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's never too late.
I know. It's never too late. I'm, you know, utilizing it in other ways.
In other ways, right. Yeah. Great segue. We have to take a short break, but when we come back, Talent Unleashed.
Are you a speaker who has an inspiring, insightful message that will help women entrepreneurs grow their businesses? If the answer is yes, we invite you to become a pro member of the eWomen Speakers Network. We have over 500,000 women connected through 118 chapters spread across North America. We're looking for speakers to share their wisdom and breakthrough ideas. Go to eWomenNetwork.com and join our speakers network. The benefits for pro speakers are incredible. Go to eWomenNetwork.com. Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome back. You are listening to Change, Redefining Success. I'm Kate Fessler, and my guest today is Chris Kepler. Chris, this voice teacher really helped you understand and harness your talent. Tell us about some of the shows you've been in and how those led to more learning and coaching to refine your singing and acting skills.
Well, I got the voice teacher that finally recognized my true voice actually did a lot of, she did some opera and she did a lot of musical theater. So she encouraged me to sort of go out and take a look at musical theater and, you know, steering me in that direction. And I had a blind date take me to a Gilbert and Sullivan production. And I enjoyed the production. Gilbert and Sullivan it's always fun to sing Gilbert and Sullivan. And lo and behold, on the back of their program, they said, "We're looking for chorus members." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I'm going to put myself out there." And I called them up and said, "You know, I'm interested. I saw your last production. I enjoyed it." And I went and vocalized a little bit with the director. And she said, "Sure, we'll take you in the chorus." And so that's how my first role, that's how I became a fairy. And now that was fun. I discovered a really fun way to use my voice and do it on stage and, you know, learn new things. I learned a fairy dance and have really fun experiences. And so I kept going. I was in their next production where I had to faint on stage. And let's see, I learned to waltz a little bit. And then I just kept, you know, I expanded that. I started looking for auditions for other musical theater. Ended up going down to Auburn and got in a production to Oklahoma. And actually ended up being cast as an understudy to Aunt Eller. At that point, I'd just been in the chorus, you know. Taken, I think, a few acting lessons at that point. And then, lo and behold, one Saturday, I get a call 3 hours before curtain that says, "Oh, well, the actress been doing this. She's in rehearsal for another production, fell off the stage and hurt her knee."
Oh, no.
So, yeah, you're going on tonight.
Well, like, that's how it happens, right?
Yeah, that's how it happens.
That's the understudy's dream.
Yes, to get on the stage. So, I made it through. I didn't forget any lines. The staging was probably a little rough in places. It's like, okay, where am I supposed to be? Got through the dance numbers because Aunt Eller does some of the jazz numbers and stuff. So,
and you, as understudy, you'd been practicing this whole time.
I backstage, I practiced lines, I was like dancing. To keep, you know, to remember the steps. And so, and it's like, lo and behold, yeah, that was fun. I want to try that. I want to be at the front of the stage more often.
Yeah, you got bitten by the bug.
I got bitten. So I just kept going. I started taking more acting lessons, more auditions. And then in their production of The Sound of Music, I got the role of the Mother Abbess.
Ah.
And yeah, that was fun. That's a very fun role to do. And it was perfect for me because the musical director said, "I'm not going to change the music for Climb Every Mountain, because they, what would often happen is they hire a lower voice and they have to transcribe it down.
Oh.
Well, for me, it was not necessary to transcribe it down at all. It's, you know, the lower part is a little harder for me, but once it gets up there, I'm like, hey, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, loving this. So yeah, I really enjoyed that that role. That's really a fun role. So,
well, and you had come kind of full circle from the
yes.
from the original chorus that you were in, right, in the Sound yep. of Music,
yep.
to being yep. front and center in the Sound of Music.
Yes, front and center. So, yeah. So I really came full circle there, and I was really bitten at that point. So it was more acting lessons, audition. I started auditioning for non-musical theater roles, you know, plays. Kept working at it.
And, yeah, you had found your thing. Huh?
Yeah, I found my thing. Also got into film and enjoyed that a lot. It's different from plays.
Yeah, if you make a mistake, they just start again, right?
Right, they just start again. Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
So what films have you been in that we might know? What's on your IMDb page?
Oh boy, IMDb page. I think the biggest film I've been in at this point is just a horror film that was made a couple years ago, just released last year, called Seven Witches.
Okay.
And it's garnered some good reviews on a lot of horror websites.
Appropriate for this time of year.
Yes. Yeah. And it's less, there's not a whole lot of gore. It's very suspenseful.
Oh, good. I like those kind better than the ones
yeah,
with lots of
violence. It has a very, it's got a very gothic feel. So I play one of the badass witches.
Well, that must have been fun.
It was very fun. That's the first time I've actually been that long on location. We were like 5 days on location. And great people to work with. It was a union film. So we had a few actors from LA, some crew from LA, and so working under union rules. So it was like there was no fooling around. You know, things went like clockwork, and because, you know, union rules say that you can only work this long and you're lunch breaks and dinner breaks are here, and yeah.
Oh, right. And where were yeah. you filming?
We filmed over in West Seattle, and then at Fort Flagler out on the peninsula, which was just beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was, that's probably one of the best known film. I have a short called The Dinner Table that I'm in that was part of Real Northwest, which is part of the PBS, the local PBS station.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of their featured films. And those are the one that, and then I'm in a short, SOS, that won the 2013 72-hour Tacoma Film Festival.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no Hollywood films, but some really great local films. And well, Seven Witches was produced out of LA. So,
yeah. Hey, you got on IMDb, you know?
Yes.
So, how did you get into the voice narration and video voiceovers?
Well, first of all, I still like to sing, and voiceover and singing are very interconnected. In fact, even radio personalities who get into regular voiceover, it's recommended that they take singing lessons.
Really?
Yes. And so it's because they're so interconnected, and it's like, well, what other ways can I use my voice and make some money at it? And it's mm-hmm. voiceover. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoy voiceover because I enjoy singing. Hence, I use a lot of my singing in the voiceover that I do. Because, especially if you're doing any games or apps or anything like that, you know, you're doing different characters, so you're pitching your voice in a different manner. You're doing different, you know. So that's how I get into it. And I just, it's like, you know, I really enjoy this because it's so much like, it's so related to singing.
And acting too. It seems as
and
if
acting.
The video game industry seems to be a great place for voice actors.
Yes.
Kind of yes. like animated films, right?
What it is, yes.
is available now that didn't exist like 20 years ago because of advent of the computer, the digital age.
Yes. Yep. Yes, yes. And, you know, and apps. I can be heard on an Amazon app.
You're not the voice of Alexa, are you?
No. It's Amazon Rapids. It's a learning, reading app for kids.
Okay.
And they used to use computer simulated voice, but now they've gone to using real voices. So they're using voice actors to voice all the characters. So I voiced a witch and a woman looking for a babysitter for her tarantula, a grandma, a spy.
So do they just kind of send you like, here's the character sketch, and you kind of come up with the voice that you think would be appropriate for that?
Yes. Yeah.
That seems like so much fun.
Oh, it's really fun. It's really fun. And I've done some video games. I did background voices for a video game called Agony.
I'm sensing a theme here. There's, you know,
so that
horror
was,
movies,
you know,
Agony.
Yeah, that was, I had to do some screaming and crying. I scared my dogs.
Oh no!
Screaming and crying in front of the mic, and all of a sudden the dogs are like, they're going, "What's wrong with you?"
I'm surprised they didn't start barking. Like, we'll save you.
Yeah. So that's lots of So voiceover has such a breadth of. So mostly I'm doing apps, you know, real character stuff or narration.
And you do audiobooks too, right?
Yes, I do audiobooks. That's super long form narration.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because I listen to audiobooks, and I always think, because I'm always impressed with the way the person who's reading it really makes the characters so distinct, and you can tell just by the way they change their voice, because obviously you can't see anything, right?
No.
And you're not reading like, and then so-and-so said, right? So you have to distinguish between those people with your voice, which is, it's definitely a talent.
It's yes. And it's, boy, it is not easy. It's not easy at all. I did have a comedy audiobook out that one of the characters had Asperger's. Mm-hmm. So a teenager with Asperger's, which meant he spoke in a very flat tone. Mm-hmm. And then his girlfriend was a goth.
Now, how do you make that come across in a voice?
Very outgoing and excitable. And she's very outgoing and upfront and in your face. She was a bit in your face. And a pompous neighbor, a Chinese laundryman, the villain in the main villain, the author had a reference to Speedy Gonzales, so to get his voice, I sat and watched Speedy Gonzales cartoons on the internet.
I remember those cartoons. I used to love Speedy Gonzales. Looking back, it was probably a little racially insensitive, but, you know, we didn't know that then.
No kidding. No, no. And it's like, well, it's out there. I can get that voice, you know?
Yeah.
That's, it's just really, so it makes it really fun, but it's a huge project because unless you're a big time narrator narrating tons of books where you often don't have the chance to read them, at this point, I read the book, make notes of any difficult pronunciations because I have it's like a 15 book series I've done on Wicca for an author. And let me tell you, those Welsh and old Irish names.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you look at it and go, and then you listen to it, you know, because I listen to get the correct pronunciation and go, okie dokie, that's pronounced nothing like it looks.
Right. Yes. It's a completely different alphabet.
Welsh is, you'd never guess. Welsh is like, what? And Irish too. It's like, okay. Yeah. I would have never guessed that one.
Yeah. So when did you figure out that you had a talent for satire and comedy? Because not everyone can do that well.
You know, I have always loved comedy. Even as a child, I love comedy. When I got started acting, I acted in some comedies. And, you know, at that point, I figured out that people sort of found me funny. And so I enjoy it so much that, you know, I keep wanting to get better at it. And to get better at it, you really have to do comedy. And I came up with this one woman show that's a comedy. And it's related to Does This Happen to You? That's how it started out. My podcast, my blogging, Does This Happen to You? Started out as a one woman show because it was Does This Happen to You at the gym?
Oh,
I'm a gym rat. You wouldn't know it from looking at me, but I'm a gym rat. And I would have the most weird experiences. And so one of my theater friends was running a late night show on Capitol Hill. And she said, oh, I need people to perform. We just need really short performances. Because it was like the show ran from like 11 to 1 in the morning, 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. to 1 in the morning. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, I toyed with one woman shows before, but not comedy. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, I'm going to put this gym stuff together and see what happens. And, you know, I was like, maybe late 40s at that point, performing in front of 30 somethings. Mm-hmm. I didn't like succeed wildly, but I didn't fail either. And so it's like, you know, I'm going to keep going with this because that was kind of fun. And so I've just kept going with it.
Tell me about your podcast and your blog.
Oh yeah. Does This Happen to You? I love funny stories and I love telling funny stories because that's basically what my one woman show is, telling funny stories. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I started out on my podcast, narrating some of my own stories, which I actually find kind of difficult, but I couldn't write enough to do that. So I started asking people whose blogs I like, can I narrate your blog that's a funny story? And they were most of them said, yeah, wow, sure. And so I started doing that and I just kept rolling along with it. And it's like, and then I got started on medium.com, which is a huge blogging writing platform out there.
Okay. I haven't actually heard of that.
You haven't? Oh yeah. and medium.com.
Okay.
And I found stories out there that I love. So I'm like, can I narrate your story? And most of the writers were like, wow, yeah, sure. So I've just, you know, it's just kept expanding. I found more writers, new writers. Everyone seems to love it. It's you know, PR for them, because in my podcast, I say this story is by so-and-so and you can find them here. And yeah. Then, of course, in my show notes, it's like, if you want to, you know, read more stories from so-and-so, go here.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm helping them build an audience while I'm building an audience too.
Yeah. It's kind of a one-stop shop for people who want to hear you narrate funny stories.
Yes. And so it's just my favorite thing. And I've since expanded it. I started writing my own funny blog. And recently, within the last year, I've been added to a humor publication because within Medium, there are lots of publications.
Okay.
That have lots of followers. I continue to build my reputation writing funny things. And the more funny stuff I write, you know, you keep doing it, you get better at it.
Right. That's
Yeah. And I decided that I also wanted to learn one-liners. And so I'm a regular contributor to ComedyWire.com, which is a comedy website. So, and I keep getting, they're like, you know, keep writing, you're going to get better at it. So I love to write comedy. Comedy is just, you know, my thing. So the story that I received my award nomination for is a comedy. Yeah. A funny story.
So I was going to ask you about that. So you've received two awards. Official Selection Here Now Festival 2016,
yes.
And Outstanding Storytelling Best Performance Nominee 2017 SOVAS Awards.
Yeah, SOVAS, yeah, the Society
what,
of.
What is Here Now and SOVAS, and what are those awards for, and what do they mean to you?
The Here Now Festival is a national festival. It's a national audio drama festival.
Oh, okay.
And really my podcast falls in the audio. Well, let me say it's an audio theater.
Okay.
Audio theater festival, which includes audio drama, audio comedy, which is where, you know, my funny storytelling podcast falls into the audio comedy theater.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. And so it's a juried. They just don't, you know, select anyone. You have to send it in and they listen to it. And if they think it's good, you get selected as for a filmmaker, your film being selected for a film festival, a juried film festival.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't take anyone.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
So it's like that. And again, it's national. So it was a national recognition for me. And actually the SOVAS, Society of Voice Arts and Sciences, that's actually an international award, because they said they have people coming from other countries, nominees from other countries. To the awards in New York City. And so again, it's like, okay, I actually met the SOVAS people at the Here Now Festival, and I thought they were really nice and what they were doing was really interesting. And so I joined. And so it's like this year, it's like, okay, they've got these awards. And I know there must be a category. I wonder if there's a category for my podcast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so sure enough, it's like, oh, storytelling. Yeah, that'll work. That should work as a category for my story. And so it's like, okay, gonna take a chance, get out there, put myself out there and send this in. And I guess they liked it.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, some of the best people in voiceover are nominated for awards. Mm-hmm. The top audiobook narrator in the nation is, nominated for audiobook narration. And there's three other selections in my category: outstanding storytelling, best performance, and two of them are audio theater with multiple actors, actually. And one of the actors is Ed Asner.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. So this is
you're in some great company.
I know. It's like, holy cow.
That's very impressive. You must be very proud of that.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I'm this little person toiling away and in anonymity with, a few people that really like what I do. And all of a sudden I'm not so anonymous anymore.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So
that's a great lesson, in putting yourself out there from the shy little kid to, I'm going to show people what I'm doing. I love that.
Yes. Yeah. So it's worth it to do that. It's scary. Yeah, it's scary. I was freaking out about what to wear to a red carpet ceremony in New York City.
Oh, yeah. These are problems that, no one feels sorry for you about.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, oh my gosh, because here in Seattle, it's a lot, it's a lot more relaxed. So.
It is. Yes. Very different.
Yeah. So, it's, going to be an adventure.
Yeah, that's exciting. So we're almost out of time. So I have to ask you, what is one book or resource that changed your life that you would recommend to people?
Resource. I have found that actually, taking that junior college night course that said, what careers would be a good fit for you, really finally started me on my way out of being so shy and so introverted.
Mm-hmm.
And really got me on a better path, a much better path.
Okay. So having someone sort of give you some validation of things you were good at and give you some information about what you could do with that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chris, your work sounds so like so much fun.
Oh, it's what fun. Advice, yes.
What advice would you give to someone who's thinking right now, I wish I could do that?
It's really fun, but it's a lot of training, especially if you have acting training, it's an easier segue. Or if you've been on the radio, it's an easier segue, but you still need voiceover is not radio work and it's not pure acting work. And so there's extra training that you need. And then I think the first thing is you have to be like to hear your own voice because you're going to hear it a lot. So it's a lot of training. And it's like running any other business. It's hard, You got to go out there. You got to find clients. Voiceover has a huge range. You have to find out what your niche is. Like I don't really do commercial work because that's not a niche for me. Right. So I don't spend a lot of time on it. I spend time on narrative stuff, which is audiobooks, e-learning, explainer videos, video sales letters. Mm-hmm. My niche is just narration. But it takes a little bit to find that out. And it's like any other business. It's going to take some time and hard work. So,
yeah, but don't give up if someone tells you you have an awful voice.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh my gosh.
So if people want to find out more about you, tune into your podcast and read your blog, how can they do that?
Well, my podcast is on iTunes. It's Does This Happen to You?
Right. Does This Happen
You can find me on Twitter at ChrisKKAria. I'm on LinkedIn.
Wait, let's spell that.
It's
Chris, K-R-I-S.
K-R-I-S-K-K-A-R-I-A.
Okay, like the opera. Yes.
Yeah. Type in my name into Google. And then, of course, I have a website, www.chriskepler.com. And don't forget that extra E. Yeah, it's Kepler. Right. But you don't hear that extra E, but it's there. So
it's like Kepler.
Yeah, but it's Kepler.
Yes,
it's,
I know.
It's very German, and that's how they say it in Germany, too. So, yeah. Yep. Very German. Yes.
Got it. Awesome. Well, Chris, thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care. I'll be right back.
You too.
Do you feel like you're drowning in administrivia? Do you have a podcast you would like transcribed to repurpose as a blog or even a best-selling book? Rhonda's Virtual Office is the answer to the freedom you crave so you can get busy doing what you love. Let Rhonda's Virtual Office give you the relief you need. Visit rhondasvirtualoffice.com and get some peace of mind today. Rhonda's Virtual Office is the go-to transcription service for EWN Podcast Network.
Thanks for joining us. Back now with your host, Kate Fessler.
Have you ever been discouraged from pursuing your dream? Chris's story is a great reminder that persistence can pay off, and you should always get a second opinion when someone says no to your heart's desire. Chris is in New York this weekend, attending the 2017 Sovos Awards ceremony, where she's been nominated along with some pretty impressive star power. We wish her luck. If Chris had given up on her dream, she would likely not be at that ceremony, let alone nominated for an award. But there are so many opportunities today to use your talent to do fun things you love. Chris extending her voice to animations, games, audiobooks. What a great example of thinking outside the box. What's your story? If you'd like to share it on this podcast to inspire others, please click on the link at the bottom of the show page and fill out the survey to be considered as a guest. If you have something to add to the conversation, please leave a comment on my Facebook page, First Class Live Solutions. Next week, my guest is sports broadcaster and author Jen Mueller. Jen pursued a career in sports broadcasting after repeated comments of talks too much from teachers and family members. A 17-year sports broadcasting veteran, Jen currently serves as the Seattle Seahawks sideline radio reporter. She is also part of the Seattle Mariners television broadcast team on Root Sports. In addition to her work on the sidelines, Jen launched Talk Sporty to Me in 2009 and teaches business professionals how to improve communication and leverage fandom in business. Jen is the author of 3 books and published her most recent release, The Influential Conversationalist, in October 2017. Jen graduated from Southern Methodist University in 2000 with degrees in broadcasting journalism and public policy. I hope you'll join us. Until then, here's to your authentic first-class life. I'm Kate Fessler. Thanks for listening to Change, Redefining Success.
I'm Sandra Yancey, CEO and founder of eWomen Network. We invite you to listen to all of our EWN podcast hosts at EWNPodcastNetwork.com. This is the EWN Podcast Network.